and he will bless you. So we ask God tonight to bless us, bless his word tonight. We thank God for being here tonight in the house of the Lord. And we're glad that God is good. And of course, we are still thanking God for our trip to the Philippines. God really mightily moved over there, and you can see it on Facebook, and the things that God has done mightily, and we were mightily blessed of the Lord. And of course, we came back, and Sunday morning we started speaking about the heart of a man, how it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And if we, in Jeremiah, was it the 17th chapter? Oh God, in the 17th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, where it tells us the heart is, the heart is deceitful. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And only God knows the heart. He understands and the deceitfulness of the heart, and he knows how to change it. He knows how to make a new heart. He doesn't repair that, the whole heart. He takes it and gives you a new heart. That's what he does. He creates a clean heart inside of us. David, in Psalms 51, we were touching that Psalms 51, where he was praying, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In verse 10, in Psalms 51, verse 10 says, he's asking, create in me a clean heart, a heart that is clean is a heart that is after God. The whole heart that we were born with, it's deceitful. See, that's not the heart that David is asking for. But he's asking for a new one. He's asking for one that's after God, a heart to know God, a heart that loves God, a heart that fears God. Not a divided and a deceitful heart, but one that is seeking after God. He said, as the hart panted after the water brook, so panted my soul after thee, O God. My heart and my flesh cried out after God, yea, for the living God. Do you feel like that? Hmm? Do you feel that your heart is, you're hungering and thirsting for God? Your heart is crying out for the living God? Is that the way you feel? Huh? You have to get to where you begin to cry out for God, for the living and the true God. And then in Jeremiah also, the 24th chapter of Jeremiah, we just had it a while ago, Jeremiah 24 and verse 7, what does it say? Now God is speaking, says, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. So what God does, when we were born in sin and shaping in iniquity, we did not know God. We came in with a wicked deceitful heart that does not love God. It's not seeking after God. It's not in man that walks to direct his step. Or heart doesn't. The natural man does not seek after God. Doesn't want God. He doesn't understand God. But here in the 24th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, it says that, "And I, God," that's God, "will give them a heart to know me." So that's what you need. We need a heart to know God. "That I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart," not just a part. See, you're serving God, but he doesn't have all of you. Many of the kings of Israel, and even Judah, it says that they serve God, but not with a perfect heart. Their heart was not fully in it. Just like today, you can be coming to church, going to church, but your heart is not here. Your heart is divided. That means you have part is for God, but its part is for something else. And it's a divided heart. It's unstable. The heart is unstable. And it's not focused on God. God doesn't have all of you. You only have a part. And the rest we will not surrender. We will not give it to God. But God said, "I will give them a heart to know me." Don't you want that? When you pray, that's the way you should pray. "Oh God, give me a heart to know you." Oh, Paul said, "that I might know him." See? The power of his resurrection. How do you pray? What do you ask for? Are you just asking for things? See, that's a divided heart. Your heart is not focused on God when you're focused on cars and money. You're focused on the things of the world, the material things. See, you because you don't think God can give you unless you ask him. See, Solomon did not ask him for riches, but he asked him for wisdom. He asked him for knowledge and understanding. And if you ask God for a heart to know him, right? Focus on him. And God will take care of you. And you don't have to worry about clothes or things or what you will eat or what you will put on. You serve God with all your heart. And God is able to provide, to take care of you. He cares for you. But when we begin to focus on things and think that we have to ask and beg, and God's children does not have to beg because he cares for us. Yes. Says, "Consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin." And Solomon, in all his glory, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Don't you know that God cares for you? Yes. See, when you have a heart that's after God, my heart and my flesh cry it out after God, "Yea, for the living God. My soul thirsted for God, hungering and thirsting after righteousness." Not after natural material things, where you have to spend your time all the time asking for a watch or for some clothes or a house. No. Your Heavenly Father knows all these things. Your Heavenly Father cares for these things. But if you put your mind and your trust in the Lord, Scripture said, that they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. When you put your trust and wait upon God, you will mount up with wings as eagle. And you will run and not be weary, and you will walk and not faint. You will trust in God. And you begin to serve God because the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord, and he fights. And he feeds you. He gives you bread. He gives you water. He put a roof over your head. You've got to get to that place where you trust him. See, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what he says. Didn't he say that? Yes. Trust in the Lord with how much? With all your heart. So if I trust God with all my heart, how am I going to divide it and be trusting in something else? See, I've got to put a total trust in God with all of my heart and lean not unto my own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path. He'll tell you which way. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And God will bless you. God will prosper you. God will increase you. Even without you asking for it. He told Solomon, because you did not ask for riches, for a house, for gold watches, because you did not ask for even a better job. He said, I'm going to give you all those things. You didn't ask for the life of your enemy. I'm going to give you all those things. See, when your heart is in the right place, when your heart is fixed, and God, the blessings flow. The blessing, when you have a heart after God, a heart that is seeking after God. The Bible tells us that when you seek for God with all your heart, you will find Him. And He will bless you. And he will be there for you. So this is a beautiful scripture in Jeremiah 24, verse 7. Said, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Look at that. When you know God, see, He is your God. You know who your God is. For they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And they shall return. Notice here, a lot of people want to return to God, but they're still focused on other things. A lot of us are like that. We want to go forward in God, but we don't want to let go of the past. But there's always something attracting us that will cause us to look back. But we have to go forward looking unto Jesus, amen, the author and the finisher of our faith. See, we have to look to God, look to the Lord. The scripture said, Psalms, was it? I will look to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. You look to the Lord for strength, for deliverance. And it says that they will return. How? They will return to me with their whole heart. That means every part of you. There's not a part of you, a divided heart. You have a part for God, as I said, and a part for something else. You're holding on to something else. You're looking to something else. You're trusting in something else. You don't trust God for His guidance. So God is saying now, you put your trust in me and return unto me with your whole heart, and I will bless you. Yes. See, God will, it's like the Matthew 13 about the soils. Remember the soils? Yes. See, the soil is the heart of a man. Yes. Matthew 13. Remember the sower that went out to sow? And when he scattered, they find that. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse, where this sower that went out to sow, and the same day Jesus went out from the house, and he sat by the seaside. Matthew 13, he said the same day Jesus went out and he sat out of the house. And then he went and sat by the seaside. Verse 1, and a great multitude that were gathered together unto him, so that he went into the ship and he sat there, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now that sower was Jesus. That sower was the Lord himself. He came down from heaven, the word of life. He came to give life and light He came to give understanding. And that sower was Jesus Christ. And the seed was the word of God himself. To sow himself in our hearts. The ground is the heart of a man. Amen. It's not the field outside. It's the heart of a man. And he sowed. And verse 5 says that some fell upon stony places. That's the heart. The condition of the heart. Where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. They were praising God, you know, happy. And everybody, they're going on for a while and say, oh my, that brother, that sister, whoa, she's doing good. Until after a while, you notice they begin to draw back. They're not on fire like they used to be. He said, they sprang up and suddenly. But remember, the race is not for just a year or two. Okay? It's forever. That you race, you run, and you don't put your hands to the plow and draw back. Otherwise, you're not worthy of the kingdom of God. So some, next verse says, and when the sun, notice here, the sun, afflictions, persecutions, trials, temptations, enticement, the sun was up. They were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. They did not go deep enough in the word of God. The word of God did not go down in their heart. It didn't penetrate because there were so many things blocking. And there's so many hindrance in their lives that they would not allow that word of God to take root. Oh, yes, Lord, you'll go. Here's my heart, but don't go too deep. Not too much. They'll go to church for a while. But when the word of God begin to get deeper and deeper, and they don't want to go. And pastor, don't dig in my life. Here's a little soil, but don't go down and begin to dig up. So the word of God can go deeper in your spirit. It can go deeper down. They put a roadblock up. And they put up no trespassing signs. And don't you know that I will do my own thing, and I will accomplish them. When I, you see, they cannot take the suffering. They cannot take the persecution when the sun rise up. Do you go to church all the time? Relatives or something or attracting them? When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. See, you had to take a hold of Christ. Be rooted, yes. Thank you. Be rooted and grounded. You have to be rooted and grounded in love. See, they had no love. See, the love, they didn't have enough love for God. They had love. They divided love. They love the world. They love the things of the world. They love their ambition, There's something out there that they love that attracts them more than God. The church of God doesn't track them all the time. They're divided. Part God and part out there. See? So there's a danger, though, because they're going to scorch and wither, notice, and fade away, uprooted. And some fell among thorns. Now, the thorns out there, I mean, your company. You can have the thorns everywhere. Where do you go? People not serving God, and you're right there. Could be family. But you got to be in the party. Oh, I'm not doing anything, but you're there. You're there. And say, but I'm not laughing at their joke, but you're there. Because what you don't understand, it's your spirit that picks it up. Do you understand that? It's your spirit. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seats of the scornful, nor standeth in the ways of the sinners. But his delight, here's where delight is. There's something in your heart that delight in God. You have pleasure in God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditate day and night. You don't meditate when that person is over there cussing and swearing and slipping and sliding in his beer. See, you have to separate yourself. Come out of that stuff and let them see that you're sanctified, means set apart. And the glory of God is in your life, and you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation, and you're a real Christian. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns, notice, sprang up and choked them. Got a chokehold on their spirit and squeezed the life of God out of them. The thorns choke them. So every time they get a word, it chokes it. The company. And you try to share. You say, but I go to witness, and you try to share with them, and they laugh at you. And they choke you. Well, you know, I'm supposed to win everybody. No, you're not going to win everybody. But they can choke you. You can choke you. Amen. And verse 8 says, but others fell in. We missed one. The stony ground, didn't we? We missed the stony ground. What verse? Look at verse 5. Some fell among upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no depth, no deepness of earth. They did not go down deep enough. The word didn't go deep down, surface. They would not meditate. Let that word penetrate your spirit. They had no deepness. They've been going to church for years, but it never get off the surface. Surface, the word. You'll never let the word go down in your heart. And you have no deepness, the depth of God, the depth, the length, the height, the breadth of God, and to know the Lord. See, it's up to you to let that word go down deep. Let these sayings, Paul said, let these sayings sink deep down in your heart. You have to give space to the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost plow you. See? Plow your heart. Plow your soil and break up the fallow ground. Take out the stony. The stony ground. The word of God is hammer that breaks the rock. The stony ground. See, and that's why the ministry is. The ministry is there to plow. And to plow. And to plow. And to cut. And to weed up. To pull down. God told Jeremiah, I sent you to root up. To pull down. To tear down. And then to plant. You don't build upon stony ground, thorny ground. You have to weed out all of that. And then some fell upon good ground. Right? Some fell upon good ground. What's that verse? But others fell upon good ground. Notice the good ground. See, you have to give your heart over and ask the Lord, make me, Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Take out the stones, the thorns. Help me. A right spirit. Do you understand that? Don't let no weeds grow. No weeds of bitterness. Thorns and thistles grow in my spirit. Take out all of that from me, Lord. And make me a good ground. Make me clean, Lord. Wash me. Remember in Isaiah, wash me. And make me pure. Take away corruption from me, the old nature, that old nature, the image of the first Adam. Take it away from me, the image of man, that fallen, corrupt image. And wash me, make me good ground. Make me good soil, so I can comprehend with all saints what is the length, the breadth, and the depth, and to know the height of God. Lord, help me, search me. See, you've got to present yourself before God every day as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Something has to be done in your spirit. A work has to be done in your life. And that's what the ministry is for. The ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. And if you read down in Ephesians 4, it tells us that we all come into one. And a perfect man. God gives us a heart that is clean and pure. There's a script verse there that speaks about the heart. Where God gives you in Ephesians chapter what? Verse 12. What does it say? He gives it for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come, verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. That's good ground. Amen. See? That's till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. See? We're unto a perfect man. Yes. Where there is some receive 30. 60-fold and 100-fold. Do you understand that? You begin to produce for God. There's fruits in your life. Fruit of the Spirit. You're like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in a season. Your leaves also shall not wither. And whatever you do it shall prosper. Therefore, you don't have to divide your heart and begging and keep begging for things. But set your affection, the Bible said, that's your heart, upon things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. See, when you begin to have a heart that's fixed in heaven, because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And my treasure, what's your treasure? Jesus is the treasure. My treasure is on the right hand of God. Our treasure is Jesus. He's the treasure. That we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. So you set your affection on the right of in heaven, on the right hand of God, where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. See, but there's a ministry that brings us into this place where you begin to become good ground, like Ephesians 4 tells us. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Notice the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. What a place. See, that's growing up into him in all things. Till we all come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You're light and chaffy, and there's nothing there. Everybody can, every little thing you hear blow you away, upset you. Every little attraction gets you, and you have a divided heart. You're not even sure if you'll be in church. Or when you're going to be in church. You're not sure of anything. Because you're attracted to something else that distracts you from church. So you cannot be committed because you got a divided heart. Part for God. Yes. And part for the church. But I couldn't give God all my heart. I need part for myself. Here, God, here's a part of me. And you better be satisfied before I take back that part from you. I cannot give you all of it. After a while, I might give it to you. You know, that's how some of us maybe not say it, but we think. See, the thoughts that go through our heart. Because the heart is deceitful. Yep. The heart tells you, if you're totally committed to church, you're missing. If you give your whole heart to God, look what you're missing. And they show you how you could be famous and popular. How you can have the both worlds. See, so half for God and half for the world. And one foot in, one foot out. And you feel comfortable. Oh, my, I mean, you know, I got to do it right now while I'm young, while I have time. And when I'm older, then I'll give God what's left. what's left of me and say, here, God, here I come. Here, I'm going to serve you now. I've enjoyed myself. He said that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrines by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to, see that word, deceived. Deceive what? A deceived heart. The heart is deceitful above all things. And men lie in wait to deceive it. Are you already deceived?
Yeah.
And yet, there's a lot of, they will deceive you even more. So you're twice deceived. Verse 15. But speaking, notice what you do. But this is, you ought to shout this out. But somebody ought to shout. This church ought to shout. But speaking the truth in love. Where? It's in your heart, the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But speaking the truth in love, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if it's not in your heart, you will not speak it. But if it's in your heart, the love of God, that new nature in your heart, you will speak it. Which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied according to the effectual working in the measure of, notice, every part make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Not in love. How do you do? Edify? In love. There it is again. So that's what the heart needs, love. See, that deceitful heart must be filled with love. And you have it, love for God. The scripture said in, I think, Deuteronomy, that you should love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Now, how can I love God? How can I love God with all my heart and all my soul? Go to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. And there's a verse there that Deuteronomy 30th chapter that tells us, verse 6, is it? Verse 6? Yes, Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6 says, read it. Here, I'm showing you now how to get this love, this truth, into your heart. What he does, he says, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed. You remember what this, Joel said? That behold, in the last days, what God will do? I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh and upon your sons and your daughters. They shall prophesy. What do you think he's doing? He's circumcising them with the circumcision with our hands. The cutting away from the first Adam. He's cutting you away from the old nature, from the old man, from that corrupt nature. So here is how God gives us a new heart. He cuts us away from the old one by circumcision. He says, the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. And the heart of thy seed. To do what? To love him. To know him. To understand. To fear him. That's what he has to do. The reason why we try. And we try and we try to turn over a new leaf. And we want to do right. But we go back doing the same thing. Is because we need a circumcision. We need a circumcision by the Holy Ghost. To cut you. You try to cut yourself away. From that friend. Or from that influence. Or whatever it is, put it in there, that pulling you away and causing your heart to be divided, but you keep going back. You mean and you feel miserable to yourself because I want to do good. See? Because when I will do good, evil is present with me. So now it's the Holy Ghost, that sharp sword of the Holy Ghost. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And as you submit and you yield to God, that Holy Ghost begin to work and cut you away from that problem. That thing that you've been trying to get loose from, so you can serve God, so you can work for God, so you can live for God, so you can lift your hands up and praise God. But you're having problem. It takes the circumcision of the Holy Ghost. It takes the power of God to cut you away, to set you free from that old Adamic nature. So the Lord said, I will circumcise thy heart and the heart of your children to love the Lord thy God. You see, you can lead your children wrong in the whole nature. It's easy to lead them in that nature. But it's hard to lead them in the new nature. Only God can do that. Only God. So you've got to let your heart get cut away and let God, the Holy Ghost, cut them. You can't do it. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You cannot do it. But if you let the Holy Ghost and put your trust in the Holy Spirit, God said, I will cut you away. And I will cut your children away, your seed. And I will cause them to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Praise God. And with all thy soul, that thou mayest live forever. Eternal life. Don't you want that? Don't you want that for you and your children? Let God cut you away from the world, the flesh, the devil. Are you listening now? Let God cut you away from the things that's holding you back and binding you to these things, these distractions. Say, Lord, circumcise my heart. Go ahead and do it, Lord. All to Jesus I surrender. And let God cut you away. And you're going to see what happened. How you're going to prosper and peace and love and joy will flow like a river in your life. And you will save yourself and save your children. Let God do it. Let God lead you. Let God work for you. And you will see what God. What you've been trying, it doesn't work that way. You're going to go down. You're going to fail. You and your children. And you look back in sorrow. And your children will look at you later on and say, why didn't you lead me to the way of God, the way of righteousness? Let God circumcise you and circumcise your seed, and you will know that He's God, and you will live forever. Now, in the same thing, Joel spoke about that, and Peter spoke about that. This is that which was spoken of by Joel. In the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, here's how God circumcised you. He did that in Deuteronomy, he told them. But in Romans, the fifth chapter, look at that. And let me start at verse 1. Romans chapter 5, start at verse 1 to verse 5. Says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patient experience, and experience hope. And hope, look at it, this is it right there. Let's read that loud. And hope make it not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So here it is now, the circumcision. What does God, how? He circumcises us with the love of God. The Holy Ghost brings the love. The Holy Ghost is the love of God. He sheds it abroad in our hearts. Remember? He circumcised on the day of Pentecost. That was a circumcision. And the 3,000 were circumcised. They were cut away from the old Adam and the old Jewish traditions, the world. And look what was. And he added that to the church. And here now he said, I will cut your seeds away. I will cut you away. And I will cause you to love me. But how does he do it? He cuts you away from the world. And when he does, by the Holy Ghost, the love of God is implanted. Amen. In your heart, which is the love of God, is the image of God restored. In Genesis 1, 26, 27. That is the image of God restored. Not the image of the first Adam. That image in Genesis 4. But this is the image of Christ. Jesus, the image of God. As Colossians tells us. So here's how he does it now. He circumcised our hearts by the Holy Spirit. When you receive that baptism of the Holy Ghost, it raises you up out of the first Adam. He quickens you. And what happened? You receive a new heart, an inner man, a new man. You're circumcised, you're clean. You're set apart. That's what the Holy Ghost does. The baptism of the Holy Spirit cuts you away and sets you aside for God. And in closing, in Colossians chapter 2, just turn there now, and we will go to Colossians chapter 2. Let's read on, and going down to verse, let me not take all of it, but go down to, where do I want to go? Says, speaks about the circumcision without hands. Verse 11. Okay, go to verse 10. Read chapter 2, verse 10. What does it say? We are complete in him. Well, for in him, I need to back up a little, it's so good. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 9. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principalities, powers, in whom also, notice, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hand, not the one under the law, in the putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost cuts you away from the first Adam, the old man, that old carnal sinful man. And then the new man is implanted, the new man in the heart. So you have a clean heart, a new heart. You are reborn, regenerated. See, process of what? Renovating. He cleansed you. The washing of the water by the word. And now you're clean through the word, which I've spoken unto you. In other words, you have the nature of God plants in you, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature of God. Something is implanted in you, in your heart. A new man is implanted in you. And that's implanted there by the incorruptible word of God. Amen. See, the word of God is now the seed in your heart. And you are a new person. You are a new creation. Amen. Old things are passed away. That means that old Adamic nature is gone. And now the new man, the new nature, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live now by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So there's a cutting away. There's a cutting away, right? By circumcision. So on the day of Pentecost, when they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's the knife, the word of God, the sword that God cuts you away. And a spirit birth. You're born of the Spirit. You're born from above. And as we're born the image of the first Adam, the earthly, we now bear the image of the heavenly, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. For the first Adam was carnal, natural. But the last Adam is the Lord of glory. He's the spiritual man. And God is looking for spiritual children. For God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So he sent the Holy Ghost now that we might be reborn. Born of the Spirit. And we are born again, not of flesh, not of blood, not of the will of God. I'm the will of man, but of God. We are born not of the will of man, but we are born by the Spirit. You must be born again. He that is born of the flesh is flesh, but he that is born of the Spirit is spirit. So the Holy Ghost comes to cut us away from that old Adamic nature, that old world, the old you, the old self. And now he puts you in Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, I make everything new. Hallelujah. God bless you.